somehow it's a standard US dollars price. But the other country's currency's price is depends on the price of US dollar. So US dollar price can float.
Can move, can float, but other countries can't. Why is that? This is a nonsense explanation. And you agree. So the example of US dollar and euro as well, euro is also decided on the market. Yeah? Those examples show that the country could allow your currency to fluctuate, your currency to be, your exchange rate to change every day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You still have a healthy domestic economy. Right? So having a changing of exchange rates every day is not a problem. Right? Shouldn't be a problem. What are the reasons for controlling? Other reasons for controlling financial liberalization?
Why is it a problem?
Why is the problem to China?
The rate of exchange can't float every day.
No one knows. If we allow the RMB exchange rate to be decided by the market, it's okay. And who knows? How could we prove that it will be a problem, right? It might be even better if the government allows the RMB, the value of the RMB, to be determined by the market. Now the government can choose. Right? The government can choose the value of RMB, but how could we know the government is making the right decision?
So
how could we know the government is smarter than the market? Right?
What are the reasons to China's government to regulate?
I don't know. You should ask Premier Wen Jiabao. I don't know. No one knows. No one knows. But there might be a political reason, because China also wants to use the exchange rate of RMB as a bargaining chip to achieve something else. So China wants to undervalue RMB to encourage exports, because we have a lot of workers in the exporting industry. So we want to maintain and undervalue the RMB. And the second reason could be you want us to do this,
so
you give us something in exchange.
That's the reason why we shouldn't.
which reason? Which one? Political reason or encourage? To encourage export. Yeah, so government can control financial liberalization to pursue, we call it industrial policy, right? So you encourage export and discourage as a mercantilist policy. That's industrial policy, right? 产业政策. And you could also control financial liberalization to achieve political purposes. So that's, but whether that's good, is that good if we, because you are doing something to yourself. You're doing something to you, and that might backfire. Might backfire, because if you distort the value of RMB, and if there is an over regulation of financial liberalization, that distorts your own economy. That distorts your own economy. That's a given. Everybody knows it. Assuming the government does not allow us to do anything, right? Does not foreign banks to come in, does not the Chinese allow Chinese to go overseas to spend money, is that good for China? That is not. Right? That is over-regulation. With that, I will show you how this is important. The control of financial liberalization should be only, at least my argument is, the control of financial liberalization should be only for the purpose of preventing financial crisis. Preventing financial crisis. That should be the only purpose. The only purpose. And for this, one of the readings, articles I give you is my paper published in Journal of World Trade. My paper published in Journal of World Trade. That is a very important paper. Very important paper. Well, not only for... That's my contribution to this area of knowledge as a scholar. No one else has done this before. So what I'm going to present to you is my findings on financial liberalization.
Can we check that?
You have it in your, as part of your reading. It's published in 2007-2008 Journal of World Trade. Yeah.来，需要说一说一下，说一下，可以，可以，可以。你不是喜欢用英语讲吗？怎么样用申请用汉语讲？
它这个很复杂，就是欧元支付，你们在二零一六年就是它的那个汇率的汇率，你自由的汇率，它自由的利率，自由的。
就是那个 Trinity 是吧？
嗯，
就是那个 Trinity 对，嗯，就那个蒙代尔的蒙代尔叫什么？蒙代尔三角对 Trinity 对，嗯。就是说你只能同时维持两个。只能同时维持两个，你不可能维持第三个，对。嗯，这是蒙代尔的理论。比如说，人家很多美国经济学者就认为不应该这样控制，而且呢，其实你可以放开。那这个这方面我也有我看过一些东西，比如说你可以叫那个putting the cart， 叫他有一个MF 有一个人写了一个文章，你就像你给那个驴前头放一个萝卜。然后那个驴就跟着走，知道吧？他你在说你其实呢，中国其实在不需要进行资本账户的自由化，你就不需要允许资本的自由流动，但是你可以让人民币汇率自由流动，明白吧？可以让人民币汇率自由流动。下面我还要讲到，其实我想今天我还要在我们在讲完这些基本原理之后，我要用一些时间讲一讲，讲一讲那个我们从法律和政治层面如何理解。国际金融危机，这也是一个非常重要的 topic。但是呢，这个对于一个 financial liberalization， 这个我们要讲一讲，就是对 financial liberalization 的这个 conceptualization， 然后对这个 financial services 和 financial capital account liberalization 中间加一个区分，这是我个人的贡献，就是 my contribution to knowledge in this area。而且我这个文章引用率是很高的，这文章引用率是非常高的一篇。那个就是 you have to distinguish between the two components, the two aspects of financial liberalization. Right? One is capital account liberalization, and the other is financial services liberalization. And people didn't differentiate these in the past. Right? The financial liberalization, for example, like you guys, when I ask you what's the concept of financial liberalization, you came up with a few very confusing examples, a lot of examples, right? Because you don't make a distinction here. It's very much a distinction between the movement of money and the movement of people. The movement of people. Right? In the past, people believed that the movement of people caused the financial liberalization. That is wrong. The financial liberalization was only caused by movement of money. Right? For example, in the Asian financial crisis, many Asian leaders blamed foreign banks because we have financial crisis because we allowed foreign banks to do business in this country. Right? And that's the cause of financial liberalization. And this is wrong. And my article shows that this is wrong. Because this confuses the movement of money and the movement of people. So I define financial liberalization as two things. One is two aspects. One is capital account liberalization, and the other is financial services liberalization. And the conclusion was financial services liberalization is not a problem. And the capital account liberalization is a problem. Is the problem responsible for financial crisis? So we have to make a distinction here. And again, you already understand the distinction between current account and capital account, right? And pass this, right? Okay. And from the global perspective. Under current account, there is a huge flow of money every day. Of course, if you buy things from foreign country through export and import, there will be a flow of money together with the flow of goods. Right? So the money goods come to this country, and the money moves from this country to another country. Right? So there, but this is very insignificant. This is very insignificant. At the international level, capital account is the main channel for capital flow. We have to be very clear about this. Right? The total volume the total value of transactions in one day through capital accounts, the foreign exchange account and the securities investment is more than the value of international trade in a year. You understand this one? So through capital account, 每天的就是通过资本账户进行交易的资金要远远高于每天要远远高于国际贸易一年的总量的。这国际贸易所引起的资本的流动是极其微少的，就比较起来是极其微小的。每天资本账户，比如说通过外汇账户，通过这个外汇市场的交易，还有通过这个证券的那个投资，对吧？通过证券投资，资本账户的交易的总量要远远大于国际贸易的量，远远大于国际贸易。也就是说，在资本的流动主要是通过资本账户来进行的。你的进出口是无关紧要的，进出口是重要性是很小的，很小的。那么所谓的 capital account liberalization， 那么 IMF 当初所要求的 what was originally required by the IMF and the Western countries， and the Western countries were capital account liberal， especially in the US， right？ The US has imposed pressure on developing countries to liberalize their capital account， to the effect that there should be a free flow of capital and no restrictions on capital account control. And what are the examples of capital account control? We allow foreign institutions to buy and sell shares in this country. We allow them to invest in whatever area, at whatever amount, right? We allow Chinese citizens to borrow money from foreign banks. No limitation at all, right? Those are the reasons for financial crisis. But financial services liberalization is very different. Financial services liberalization is different. Under capital account, you have the movement of money, the huge amount of movement of money, much more than the amount of money, the value of money in international trade. But financial services is very different. Financial services is, well, according to the 12 classification of services, and the financial services means very much the movement of people. Financial services is only part of the services. And what is service? What is a service? Under the GATT classification, there are four modes of supply in services, and this all also apply to financial services as well. So there, mode one was cross-border supply. Mode two is consumption abroad, and mode three, commercial presence, and mode four, immigration presence of natural persons. And we start with the mode one and mode two. Right? Let's say if you go to Switzerland and you call the Singapore bank, right, a lot of rich guys have banking account in Singapore. If you call a Singapore bank and ask this Singapore bank to transfer your money from Singapore to the U.S. What is this? This is the Singapore bank provides service to you, financial services to you. And which mode it is? It's mode one, right? Cross-border supply. So the Singapore bank nor its employees come to Singapore, and you don't come to China, and you don't go to Singapore, right? But the service has already been provided. So this is cross-border supply of financial services, right? Chinese visitors go to Singapore and use UnionPay, whatever, use the ATM machine there. What is that? No, this is not. Yeah, that's the typical example of consumption abroad, because you will come back, you won't be there forever, unless you want to. So that's cross-border, that's consumption abroad, right? And mode three, right? You establish HSBC comes to China and establishes a local branch here to provide financial services. Yeah. HSBC will come with people and money. With people, the people come and you buy, hire, you rent an office, right? You hire the local employees, you buy a computer, buy printers, you buy those stuff in China. That's investment. That's investment. Right? That's a commercial presence. You establish a branch here. That is also services. Service. But they can, without talking about the money brought to China, you're coming here is services. That's services. Right? So foreign banks coming to China, that's services. That's services. Right? The movement of natural persons, mode four, is most conservative, most sensitive. Let's say you, I used in my teaching of world trade law in Singapore a few years ago in the first class, I raised this example and the students laughed. I said that you come to Singapore and you book a hotel room and you stay in the hotel and you provide services. And the people laughed. I don't know why. you get this story? Huh? 好吧,我用中文来说,然后 我第一年在2003年的时候在新加坡教这个课的时候，举这个例子的时候，就说怎么样算一个 movement of natural person， 就像一个人到新加坡到宾馆开一个房间开始提供服务。我还没有明白的情况下，然后学生就开始笑。他就是 natural person the presence， the typical example of natural person presence， but it might be illegal but it's still services。Still services, to provide services. Let's see your, what kind of services, we should further ask what kind of services you provide. I'm actually talking about a financial analyst. So you're a financial analyst, you're a financial advisor. So you come to, let's say you come to Xi'an, you open a, get your room in the hotel and you provide the services. What you are doing is actually financial services. Right? You tell people how to do foreign exchange. Right? Nothing else, just that. Right? That's presence of natural person in relation to financial services. Right? It's financial services. Services. And how do we? So, what is the relationship between financial services and capital flow? There are two things. Even a lot of policymakers confuse these two. Right? So, a foreign bank comes to China, and the foreign banks, all foreign banks come to Malaysia, right? And because of Asian financial crisis, Mahathir said that those foreign banks are devils, right? They caused, we should never have allowed them to invest in our country, right? To do financial services in our country, because they have caused the financial crisis. And this is actually a wrong perception. Wrong perception. Because people like him have confused the concept of financial services and capital flow. So there's no financial services liberalization. There are two financial liberalizations. One is financial services liberalization. The other is the capital account liberalization. Right? Financial services liberalization means we allow foreigners to do banking, to do insurance, to do securities services, not securities investment. Securities services, right? We allow them to establish a 证券公司 securities company, right? Or investment banks. They provide the services. And so,